Hello. Welcome to our verse-by-verse in-depth Bible study with Bible teacher Dr. Bob Utley. Now, here's Bob.
Well, if Jacob's name means trickster, he's about to meet his match. I guess God gave Jacob a dose of his own medicine, and Jacob matured from it. So we're going to be in Genesis 29 and 30 today, looking at how Jacob came back to his mother's relatives, and the kind of people they were. Let's begin in Genesis 29. Then Jacob went on his journey. There's a unique Hebrew idiom here. It means to lift up his foot. You can almost get the picture. He was kind of just shuffling along the road, not really in a hurry. And boy, he had that Bethel experience, and now he's up on his toes. He's going down that road. You can almost see it. And came to the land of the sons of the east. Now this is found over in Judges chapter 6. Verse 3 and verse 33, and it almost seems to refer to a nomadic desert tribe. And here it seems to refer to the people in the area of Haran. Well, I think what it probably is, it does refer to a nomadic desert tribe that was somewhere in that desert between Bethel and Haran. If you look at your map, Haran's the top of the Fertile Crescent, and there's some desert between there. So maybe that's where the sons of the east came from. And he looked and saw a well in a field, and behold, three flocks of sheep were lying beside it. Far from that well they watered the flocks. Now a stone on the mouth of the well was large. Now this is just as cultural as it can be. These stones were, this either is a well that's a cistern, and the rock was there to keep evaporation, or maybe it was really a spring, and the rock was there to keep people from stealing the water. So the shepherds would come together, and probably would take several of them to get this rock off, and they would water their flocks and put the rock back on. Well, Jacob knew about shepherding, and it was unusual for flocks to be around a watering hole at noon. Usually early in the morning, but more likely late in the evening is when they were watered. So it's an unusual sight. And Jacob said to them, "My brothers, where are you from?" And they said, "We are from Haran." Now, of course, Haran is that city to which Abraham, when he left Ur of the Chaldees, moved with Terah and Lot to Haran. Now, they are both centers of the worship of the moon goddess Zen, or Sin. Her chief city is later going to be Tema in the northern Arabian desert. But right now, Haran was one of those. So Jacob knew he was close to where he was going. Boy, I bet he was excited. He had found the right place. Then he asked them, "Do you know Laban, the son of Nahor?" Now, isn't that funny? The son of Nahor? Now, who's Laban's daddy? Bethuel. His grandfather was Nahor. And that's one of the problems for trying to add up all the relatives in the Bible and put their ages and go back and find the history of the Old Testament, the dating. Because sometimes son can mean grandson, great-grandson. Father can mean great-great-grandfather. It's a much more fluid term than the English relationship terms. Said, "We know him." And he said to them, "Is it well with him?" Now, what does that mean? Is he doing okay? Is he all right? And they said, "It is well, and behold, Rachel, his daughter, is coming with the sheep." Oh, my. Coincidence? Not on your life. Rise up, John Calvin. Boy, here he came to a field, asked some men. They knew Laban, and lo and behold, here comes Laban's daughter. Friends, if this isn't love at first sight, it's the closest the Bible comes to it, I want to tell you. And Rachel must have been an outdoors girl. Apparently one who could stay with a sheep by herself. Kind of a tomboy type, but must have been strikingly beautiful. Here she came with her father's sheep. And then verse 7, "Behold, it was high noon." And of course, Jacob, being a shepherd himself, he had stayed with the flocks close to home while Esau was a hunter. He knew this was inappropriate and couldn't understand why. "It is not time for livestock to be gathered. Water the sheep and go pasture them." And they said, "We cannot until all the flocks are gathered, and they roll the stone from the mouth of the well. Then we can water the sheep." While he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, and she was a shepherdess. And it came about that when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban his brother, and the sheep of Laban his mother's brother, Laban went up and rolled the stone from the mouth of the well. Now, somebody said, this is kind of like, you ever go to the county fair with your girl and try to hit that thing to ring the bell, show her how strong you are? Was Jacob doing that? Was Jacob trying to impress Rachel? Maybe he was. Kind of fits, doesn't it? He was glad about seeing Rachel. He was glad about seeing the sheep. Now, what does that mean? He was glad his father-in-law had some money? I think not. I think the fact that he was a shepherd and knowing his father-in-law was still a shepherd, knew he may have a place to help him, a place to pay for his wife, because he didn't have a diary, and he was looking for a wife, and the cultural norm was a diary. So maybe he thought, I can work for this girl. But boy, he's going to fall head over heels for Rachel, I want to tell you. He removed the stone and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Then Jacob kissed Rachel. Must have shocked the hound out of that girl. Now, we're used to kissing men on the cheek, and maybe women kissing women, but here's a stranger, just a strong stranger, pulled this rock off this well, watered her sheep, and then planted a big one right on her. Doesn't say her voice, but it says he lifted up his voice and wept. Don't you know, I bet she wondered what in the world, just got kissed by the stranger, and now he's crying. Well, the weeping Oriental men show their emotions much more than Western-oriented men. What's he crying for? I was getting so tickled, I like to read the rabbis some, and the rabbis say, he was weeping because he knew Rachel would not be buried with him in the cave of Machpelah. Oh, croak. I think he was glad he was home, don't you? And I think that's what we're talking about. Other rabbis say he's mad because he has no gift to give. I just think he's thrilled to death that he's found the right place. God has led him right to the right field, and apparently right to the right girl. Okay, now here we go. And Jacob told Rachel that he was a relative of her father, that he was Rebekah's son, and she ran and told her father. She was thrilled to death. They didn't get back together much. It's been years since Rebekah had left home, and they hadn't heard from her, apparently. I don't know if the letters were available. They were thrilled to death that a relative had come. So it came about when Laban heard the news of Jacob's sister that he ran to meet him. The rabbis, again, they're kind of down on Laban, say he only ran because he thought that Jacob had an expensive gift like Isaac's servant had years earlier. Well, let's give the man the benefit of the doubt. He didn't know about the gift, and he ran out to meet the relative. Embraced him and kissed him and brought him into the house, and then he related to Laban all these things, told him the story, all that God had done for him. And Laban said to him, surely you are bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, and he stayed with him a month. And Laban said to Jacob, because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what should your wages be? Now, obviously, Laban knew that Jacob had come for a wife. And obviously, he knew that God had promised to be with him and bless him. Now, Laban is going to be shown throughout this narrative to be a very manipulative person. Maybe he knew that Jacob would ask for a wife, and since he didn't have any gift, it was obvious he didn't, been there a month, no money, no gifts, he was going to have to work it off. So Laban kind of says, what will your wages be? Kind of entered in the discussion, brought it around to money and dowry and stuff. And Jacob said, now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah. The name of the younger was Rachel. There's been some discrepancy about the etymology of the name Leah in verse 16. An excellent commentator thinks she means wearied, tired. Maybe because she had weak eyes is where they get that from. The others say, no, the word Leah means wild cow. Well, Rachel is a name that means a ewe. And they named their children after animals, obviously. And Leah's eyes were weak. Now, what does that mean in verse 17? Well, it's a Hebrew idiom that means that she was more the wallflower type, and Rachel was more of the very beautiful woman who would arrest your attention, very attractive woman. Now, Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. Now, friends, that was magnanimous. That was some offer, 7 years for this one wife. That was far beyond what was culturally expected. I've heard the commentators, I read several of them say, Jacob wanted to make sure he wasn't turned down. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to another man. Stay with me. Now, this is the obvious reason that Jacob was sent back there. These tribes tried to give their daughters to other members of the tribe. Now, was that religious purposes? Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure Laban knows Yahweh in an intimate way. But it was the case that relatives tried to marry relatives. Because multiple generations in one family, it was good to keep it in the family. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because his love for her. Can't you just see that? I'm sure the young woman and them looked at each other and thought about the days ahead, how much courting they did is probably, we don't know, culturally probably very little. But they both were excited about it, and Jacob, the time passed very quickly. Now Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife, for my time is complete, that I may go into her, may marry her. Marriage ceremony was somewhat involved, and Laban hadn't brought it up. You'd think they'd been counting down the days, talking to each other. Now you got one more month. Now you got one more week. But Laban hadn't even brought it up. Jacob was keeping score now. He goes and tells him. And Laban gathered all the men of the place and made a feast. Now, what does it mean they made a feast? Well, they had a party. We learn from other cultural examples that this wedding feast we're going to learn about down in verse 27 was a cultural norm. Still done some in the ancient Near East, that weddings last a whole week, sometimes more. A lot of festival and partying. And so Laban says, I'll throw a party for you. Now, it came about in the evening. Now, this apparently is the evening of the first day. There's going to be partying now for six more days, I think. But in the evening of the first day, he took his daughter Leah, brought her to him, and Jacob went into her. Now, there's been several possibilities. Number one, Leah must have known what was happening. She should have said something. Rachel obviously knew what was happening. I wonder if she was really throwing a fit back in mother's tent. Or if for some reason she realized she couldn't be married first. Now, what about Jacob? Couldn't he tell the difference in these two girls after 7 years? Well, some say it was dark. Obviously. Some say the girls wore a full-length veil, and Jacob just couldn't tell because she was veiled. Okay. I really think Jacob had been partying too much. I think he was drunk. That's what I think happened. He woke up the next morning. Oh, by the way, Laban also gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. Now, we learn from the Newsy tablets, which come from the Hurrian Society, that this was a special thing. In case the girl was barren, there was a concubine ready to have the children. That was the cultural norm, so he gave one to Leah. And it came by the morning. It was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this that you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel I served with you? Why then have you deceived me? Now, boy, he spoke up at this point. I don't think Jacob wanted to be a polygamist. He's trapped in it here. Laban says, it is not the practice of our place to marry off the younger before the firstborn. Well, that's fine, but why didn't you tell everybody about it first, 7 years earlier, and particularly the night before this first wedding feast? Verse 27, complete the bridal week. Now, this concept of a week goes back to Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And Exodus 16:23, it's just assumed the Jews always divided their lunar calendar into seven-day cycles, though it doesn't quite fit real well. And we, now who is we noise? It's Laban. And we will give the other also for the service which you shall serve with me another 7 years. That's preposterous. That's ostentatious. That this man should trick this guy and then say you got to work for me 7 more years for the other girl when he doesn't even want the other girl. Well, you can see that Laban is really a manipulator. Boy, Jacob learns his lesson well with this guy. So Jacob did so and completed her week and gave him his daughter Rachel as his wife. And Laban also gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel for a handmaid. So Jacob went into Rachel, and indeed he loved Rachel more than Leah. Now, the literal idiom here is unloved, and it's really the word hated. Look at verse 31. Look at verse 33. This Hebrew idiom is used several other places in the Bible that will help us tremendously understand their usage. We see it clearly in Deuteronomy 21:15. We see it again in Malachi chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. This is going to be quoted in Romans 9:13. There is also an allusion to the same idiom in John 12:25 and Luke 14:26. Where it says you got to hate father and mother to be my disciple. Now that means, first of all, it means that he loved Rachel more than Leah. He didn't hate Leah, he just loved Rachel more. It also is a Hebrew idiom of comparison. And we see it when it says you got to hate father and mother. It doesn't mean you have to hate them literally. The cult groups really pick up on that in splitting their victims from their families. What it means is that God has to be priority your life in that Luke 14:26 passage. Look at verse 32. And Leah conceived and bore a son and named him Reuben, for she said, because the Lord has seen my affliction, and surely now my husband will love me. Now, each of these children that are going to be born are going to have a name. The etymology is more popular than technical, but that's the way they did it in those times. So the name Reuben is related to the word seen. Behold, I have a son. Surely my husband will love me. This shows some of the significance that male children have. Leah thought she could win her husband, not through his stomach, but through her bearing him of children, right? And she conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me a son, and I'll name him Simeon. Now Simeon means I heard the report. So it relates the word I heard, the Lord has heard me, okay? And there's the second name, Simeon. This boy Simeon is later going to be assimilated into the tribe of Judah very early. And she conceived again and bore a son. I tell you what, Rachel may have been loved more, but Jacob seemed to be pretty fair about at least his sexual favors, because the one he didn't like as much is having all the kids. She conceived and bore a son and said, this time my husband will become attached to me. Now the word attached means joined together. And that's the root of the word Levi, the tribe of Levi. Therefore his name was Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, this time I will praise the Lord. Therefore she named him Judah. Now we think the etymology of Judah, or literally Jehudah, is from the word praise. Or maybe to say some praise publicly. Although we're not real sure of that, it's somewhat doubtful. But it's obviously the popular etymology of the word Judah here. Now, notice if you would please, in chapter 30 where it says, now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, she became jealous. The Hebrew here is red in the face, jealous of her sister, and said to Jacob, give me children lest I die. She jumped all over Jacob. Was it Jacob's fault? Well, medically it may have been, knowing what we know today, but back then, Jacob said, I'm not God. He got kind of mad at her. Now, Rachel is barren, apparently, and as many of these patriarchs' wives have been. But notice, though God is going to have compassion on Rachel and later give her two children, it is Leah who the line of the Messiah will go through in Judah. Not the first son, the third son. The fourth son. Now, he's going to have pity on this barren woman, but barren's not a key to the lineage any more than being firstborn or secondborn is, right? Now, look what Jacob says. Then Jacob's anger burned against Rachel, and he said, am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? Jacob says, listen, don't get mad at me. I'm not God. And you say, well, Isaac earlier had prayed for Rachel. That's true. Rebecca. I get those names mixed up. Genesis 25:21. Yeah, but also Rebecca had waited almost 20 years plus for a child before she started griping, too. So we see a little bit of Rachel's impatience here, I think, in this text. And he said to her, here is my maid Bilhah. Go into her, that she may bear on my knees, that through her I too may have children. Now, several things are important here. Number one, it looks like Jacob is manipulated by his wives. And he does it because this was the cultural thing to do. We learn that from the Nuzi tablets. This little phrase that she may bear on my knees is not a literal description of the birthing position. It's a Hebrew idiom to speak of adoption. You might want to see Genesis 48:12, where used of Joseph's kids, Ephraim and Manasseh, with Jacob later on. So we know from the Nuzi tablets, the Hurrian culture, this was the common thing. So the maid would become a concubine, and her child would be considered as Rachel's child. And she gave him Bilhah as a wife, and Jacob went into her. Jacob goes into everybody. He's got 12 kids, my soul, by four women. And Bilhah conceived and bore a son. And Rachel said, God has vindicated me, and has indeed heard my voice, and given me a son. Therefore she named him Dan. Now, Dan comes from the word judged, or judged to be worthy. God judged her worthy, or vindicated her, is sometimes the way it's translated. So Dan means judge or vindicated. Let's see. Oh, and Rachel's maid, Bilhah, conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. I can see why she wanted one son, but what's Jacob still doing going into this other lady? She's a concubine now. He can go into her anytime he wants to. She's become a semi-legal wife at this point. So Rachel said, with mighty wrestlings I have wrestled with my sister, and I have indeed prevailed. And she named him Naphtali. Now, Naphtali is related to the word wrestling, or twisted. Now, some translations think the word mighty here is the root of the word God, El. And so it's Rachel said, I've wrestled with God, and God give me victory over my sister. But I think that's reading too much in it. So the word Naphtali simply means wrestling. When Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, she took her maid, Zilpah, and gave it to Jacob as a wife. My soul, it's all Jacob needs, another wife. Because she wanted more kids, because that was really, she's in a competition with her sister now. Seems like to me Jacob's being manipulated. When we get later in this chapter, you'll see why. And Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a son, and Leah said, how fortunate, so she named him Gad, which means fortunate or good fortune. And Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a second son, and Leah said, happy am I, for women will call me happy, and she named him Asher. Asher is related to the Hebrew word for happy. Now in those days of the wheat harvest, Reuben went and found some mandrakes in the field, and he brought them to his mother Leah. When Rachel said to Leah, give me some of your young son's mandrakes. And Leah said to her, is it a small matter that you have taken my husband? And would you take my son's mandrakes also? So Rachel said, therefore, he may lie with you tonight in return for your son's mandrakes. What in the world is going on? Well, mandrakes are a plant. They have a yellow fruit, and their roots look kind of like a man. And they were kind of a traditional aphrodisiac. Like eating oysters in our day or something, taking vitamin E. People thought that gave them more fertility and that they would have a male son because the roots kind of looked like a man. And so apparently, did Reuben dig up the roots or did he find the yellow fruit? Well, I don't know. But Rachel wanted some of it. To what? Ensure her own fertility that she might bear a son. Well, Leah said, not on your life. You've already stole my husband's affection. You're not going to take the mandrakes too. See how important this having children was? Well, they made a deal for Jacob's love. Can you imagine Leah's going to run out to him and say, I've bought you for the night. I've bought you for the night. Oh, croak. These women had gotten out of hand. Later on in Leviticus, it's going to be against the law for women, a man to marry two sisters. And probably from this little episode right here. So Jacob comes in from the field. Look at this. And Leah said, God has given me my wages because I gave my maid to my husband. So she named him Ishkar, verse 17. Boy, Jacob was a fruitful person, I guarantee you. And here's another son from the word wages, which goes back to Leah hiring Jacob for the night. Mercy sakes. And Leah said, God has endowed me with good gift. Now my husband will dwell with me because I have borne him six sons. So she named him Zebulun. Now she's going to have another son. Now the word will dwell and the word gift are very close in Hebrew. And many believe there's a play on this word. It can mean place of honor. It can mean lofty abode. It can mean a bridegroom's gift from Akkadian. And so I'm not real sure. This idea about that my husband will dwell with me, apparently Jacob lived with Rachel most of the time, but visited these other women. And Leah wants him to live with her. It's kind of ironical that in Genesis 49:31, Rachel dies early and is buried on the trip, but Jacob will be buried with Leah in the cave of Machpelah, Genesis 49:31, with other members of Abraham's family. So maybe her wish came true in death. I'm not sure. And afterwards, she bore a daughter and named her Diana. Now, Diana is the feminine form of the word Dan, lady judge. And so that's what her name means. Then God remembered Rachel, and God gave heed and opened her womb. And so she conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. And she named him Joseph, saying, may the Lord give me another son. Now, the word Joseph means added to or increased. The pulpit commentary says the popular etymology goes back to verse 23 and means takes away my reproach. I don't know, but Jacob really loved these two sons of Rachel much more and thought the line was going to come through them, apparently. So it came when Rachel bore Joseph, and Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own place in my country. And now he wants to go away, but Laban doesn't want him to, because look at verse 27. Laban says, I have divined that Yahweh has blessed me on your account. Well, that's true. But the divination shows that Laban was not a true Yahwehist. Divination means reading certain signs or wonders to know the future. It's condemned, Leviticus 19:26. It's condemned in Numbers 23:23 and 24. It's condemned in Deuteronomy 18:10. I don't think Laban was a strong follower, if a follower at all. So he's going to make a deal. And he said, "For you had little before I came," Jacob said to him, "and I came, and it has increased to a multitude, and the Lord has blessed you." Jacob knew the source of his blessing was God, not his own shepherd qualities. And Laban said, "Well, what can I give you to stay?" Jacob said, "You can't give me anything," because Jacob knew he didn't get his blessing from Laban, got it from God, as verse 33 of this chapter shows. But Jacob said, I need something for my own family now. Laban said, "Well, what?" Jacob said, "Well, give me all of the odd-colored animals, the odd-colored goats, the odd-colored sheep." Now, the odd-colored sheep were black, and the odd-colored goats were speckled or striped or something. Now, what Jacob's going to... And the reason he did that is so Laban couldn't say, "That's really my sheep." It was obvious whose is whose. These were the totally different ones. The rare ones, by the way. So Jacob knew Laban would go for it because he thought he'd get more and Jacob get less. Now, in verses 31 and following, we have this strange little thing about he put strips of bark in front of the sheep when they were mating. And the reason it's so funny is, notice in verse 35, "And he gave them into the care of his sons." It's the first mention of Laban's sons. Many folk think this is explained by the fact that Jacob was adopted by Laban and should have been the heir until natural sons came, and now the natural sons are jealous. Maybe so. Laban's sons kept Jacob's flock and took them 3 days' journey away from Laban's. And Jacob had to take care of Laban's flock because Jacob was the one God was blessing. The deck was all stacked against Jacob, but God was with him. And all the cattle and animals started having these spotted, off-colored animals. Now, it wasn't because of these funny-looking rods. It was because of the blessing of God. Jacob used a means that was he thought in his day would do it, but it was God's hand. Like the tree of knowledge, it wasn't magical fruit, it was God. And the same is true of this. And so I think that's the way it ends. And God blessed Jacob tremendously. And that's going to cause a lot of family tension. And we'll get into that into our next lesson. Well, I've really enjoyed being with you, and I'll see you again. Same time, same place next week. God bless you.